Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our visitors today. My name is Jennifer, and I've actually been attending here for a little over 8 years now. How many of us remember as children saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me"? Well, I think as a child I believed that, but as life went on, I came to know that words can hurt just as much as sticks and stones. Back in the Bible days, the practice of stoning was used as a form of capital punishment or community justice. A group of accusers would gather around an accused person until he or she was dead. They would throw rocks at them, stoning them to death. It's how they dealt with sin. Someone would point out the offender, and everyone would come running, picking up a cold, hard ballot of stone. And then they would violently cast their vote against sin. And they would throw stone after stone until the one in the middle was still. In John 8, 2 through 11, there's a story about a woman who was caught in the act of adultery and whose accusers brought her before Jesus as he was teaching in the temple courts in Jerusalem. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, he commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Or as in the King James Version, "Go and sin no more." This story is very well described in the video we're about to watch. Nicole Johnson is one of the Women of Faith team, and she's been gifted with the ability to read stories in the Bible and then reenact them in a way that brings the story to life. We're going to watch that video right now.
In biblical times, there was a way people dealt with sin. Rocks. Remember when they brought her in? They threw her down in the dirt and they gathered around her angrily with rocks in their hands. Clothes, if she had any, torn off. Tears spilling in the dirt and shame and anger. Where was the man? Was she his heart's love or just the afternoon's activity? No way to know. But either way, she was alone. He wasn't there, and they would be on her. They, the self-proclaimed upholders of moral rightness. They, the super pious pillars of the assembly, armed with their bludgeoning hypocrisy and worked up indignation. She was in big trouble because she'd sinned, dead-ending her into a circle of angry religious people with rocks in their hands. Ever been there? Interesting thing about throwing rocks, especially when you throw them hard, it kind of feels good. Like you're a little safer inside. Like you're glad that's gone. Like the rock takes on the evil and you cast it away from yourself. No, you say inside, you can't do that. You were wrong. That was bad. like you've done your part to stop it. I told her exactly what I think of that sin. Problem is, rocks don't hit sin. They hit people. Remember that scene in Forrest Gump where Jenny goes back to her childhood house and she stares at that shack where her daddy, her trusted daddy, would come to her bed at night and use her like a trash receptacle. She picks up a little rock and she flings it at the house, breaking a window. And she stares, and she stares hard as the tears start to sting her eyes. And then she flings another as hard as she can. And she throws, flinging and crying until she just collapses on the ground. And then quietly and in his own simple way, Forrest pronounces, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks." There aren't. Jenny was hurling those rocks at the right thing. Sin. Dark. The blackness that overcomes people's hearts and makes them unrecognizable as human beings. But there aren't enough rocks in all the world to beat the sin out of it. What we want to beat out of the world with our rocks has never come out yet. And so when one man stepped out of the crowd and scribbled something in the dirt, he reminded a group of people who wanted to beat the sin out of her that it just wasn't possible. And he wasn't going to let them try so they could feel better. They could kill her, but it wouldn't solve the bigger problem. And he came to solve the bigger problem so we didn't have to try with our little pathetic rocks. But we won't put them down. And women can be the worst. A group of teenagers get killed on a Friday night and we lob our rocks. Well, they shouldn't have been drinking. No, they shouldn't have. But does our saying that ease the pain and the guilt of those mothers? A young girl gets raped leaving a party and she was wearing a short skirt and she deserves exactly what she got. Just drag her into the circle and throw your rock. Nobody knows what he scribbled in the dirt that day. Some have speculated maybe it was the names of the men in the crowd she'd slept with. Others said he just traced designs and patterns, giving the people time for their anger to diminish. Because what if he then wrote, "She is your daughter"? Whatever he wrote that day, he backed it up with these words: "Let anyone among you who is without any blackness in their own heart step forward first and throw your rock." Silence. And in that silence, he saved us all. He leveled the playing field. He gave those of us who've made the worst choices of our lives a place to be broken but not destroyed, giving us a picture that he would stand between us and them. And he gave those that felt they had reason and right to throw that rock the freedom to choose love instead. And that is a drop your rock moment. They've come at different times for each of us. Maybe you've come running with your rock only to find your loved one in the center of the circle. And what was so easy to judge before now has a face and eyes. When your son tells you he's homosexual, or your best friend confesses in agony she's having an affair, and maybe your anger comes first, and your teeth clench, and your grip on your rock tightens, and you want to throw it, you want to tell her, you want to tell him exactly what you think of that sin, just beat it out of him. But you don't. And you realize you can drop the rock. And your grip loosens. And your tears fall. Listen to that sound. Can you imagine what she felt that day? hunched over, waiting to feel the pain of all those rocks, and instead hearing them drop to the ground. Have you ever trembled and told a friend something you had done terribly wrong, and then hunched over emotionally, waiting to fear those stone-cold words of judgment hit you in the back? And instead, you hear the flat thud of grace as the rock hits the ground. Our rocks will never change the world, only pockmark it with hate and fear. And just maybe he wrote in the sand that day, "My rock is bigger than yours. I'll handle this one so you can drop it."
The way Jesus dealt with this woman's sin changed things forever. Yes, she had sinned and had gotten caught. And it brought her to a circle of angry religious people with rocks in their hands, ready to be her judge and jury. Scripture doesn't tell us what Jesus scribbled in the sand that day. Was he, as Nicole suggested, writing the names of the men in the crowd who had actually been with her? Or perhaps he was just making patterns in the sand to give them time to let their tempers cool down. Whatever it was, he certainly changed the atmosphere of that moment with the words, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone at her." But there was only silence. No one could say anything. His words had disarmed their accusations. He had cut away the moral high ground that these people were standing on, the self-righteous, and for all times made it an equal ground between the accused and the accuser. He showed us that no matter what, he would stand between our judges and us. Remember, rocks don't hit sin, they hit people. And thousands of years later, they still do. Oh, we're too sophisticated nowadays to be flinging stones at people. But the words that we throw out there and the outrage is just as hard and cold as any stone. And the release we feel when we let them fly can be exhilarating. A businessman goes to jail for a poor decision he made with someone else's money. And we growl, "He can stay in there in rotten jail as far as I'm concerned." Never mind his wife and his kids. And we pile the rocks up as high as we can. Or a woman confronts rudely another woman about an indiscretion in their lives, and she calls a friend later to say, "And I told her what I thought of that sin." She won't look like she's soft on sin, while the other woman wears the bruise from the rock. As we throw our rocks, we convince ourselves that if we hit just the right spot, we can knock something evil out of it. Remember the story of David and Goliath? Plant the rock squarely in the forehead of your foe, and your side wins. Well, if our goal is to kill our enemy, well, that might be the answer. But if we hope to change the heart of a friend, it definitely is not. We can sometimes knock sense into a person with the rock, but we can't knock out the sin. I liked Nicole Johnson's reference to the scene in the movie Forrest Gump, where Jenny was hurling those rocks at something bigger than she was. She was venting years of sin that that house represented to her. And yet, as Forrest had said, there still weren't enough rocks to make it all right. If we could actually throw rocks at the evil in the world, there still would not be enough rocks to make everything all right. For all the wrongs that have been done to us, there simply are not enough rocks in the world to make it right. There are many scenarios and opportunities that can happen that put us in a position of judge and jury. But we have a choice to leave all that behind and enter into the gritty reality of relationship. Nicole referred to them as drop your rock moments. How often have we seen the accused anguished with guilt and cry out for forgiveness? How often have we played the accuser and that we're going to make the accused right? As their tears fall and our fingers start to loosen on our rocks, and you let the rock fall to the ground with the flat thud of grace. What a sound. That's the sound that the accused woman heard that day in the temple court in Jerusalem. She waited in agony, afraid to hope, as she stared at the dirt which was now made mud from her tears. Hunched over, waiting to be hit by that first rock. But then she hears the drop of rocks. First one, then another, and another. Then she hears the shuffling of feet, followed by silence and stillness as she is left there with just Jesus. His voice broke the silence when he asked, "Woman, where are your accusers?" As she lifted her head very slightly, she saw no feet around her, just a lot of stones lying here and there. And only he was left. And in a tender voice, Jesus asked, "Has no one condemned you?" She was now at the mercy of God, and he was about to speak. Now he could have said, "Now that they're all gone, I want to tell you what I think of your behavior." But he didn't. He said, "Neither do I condemn you." When we have done wrong, there is no sweeter moment in all of life than to feel the forgiveness of God. His words told her that it was all right, despite all that was wrong. And then he said, "Go and sin no more." The same love that called the others to drop their rocks was now giving her the chance to choose. There was a fork in the road for her. She could continue in the sickening slavery of wrong, or walk in the freedom of forgiveness. Grace doesn't let us off the hook. It sets us free. With one blow, it strikes the shackles that bind us, breaking them open so we can walk unshackled in freedom. It promises us a better tomorrow than the today we've made for ourselves. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." The go is the grace. The sin no more is the cost of staying free. Could she really go and sin no more? It would depend on which road she chose. Would she go back to her old life? Or would she feel the powerful strength and dignity that real love and forgiveness had just given her, determined to hold her head high and never look back? Throwing rocks will never make us more loving. As we clutch and throw our rocks, we reveal our pettiness and our inability to change our own lives. Look at these pictures. Do you see any love in them? It's only when we drop our rocks and choose to love that we become more lovable. The only one who has the right to throw a rock is the one who has never done any wrong, ever. The only one who is without blackness in his own heart, never taken anything from anyone else, never compromised his own standards, never lied even a little bit to make himself look better. There has been only one, and only that one can pick up a rock. And he did. He became the rock, and he took care of our wrongs for all time. He stands between our accusers and us, and he lifts up our heads and sets us on the path to freedom. A lesson we can all learn from the story in John 8 is that love can free us from judgment. Christ demonstrated this truth so clearly. We don't have to wonder what he thinks or what he would do. He showed us that day in Jerusalem. And we can still follow his example. This afternoon, tonight, or tomorrow, God hasn't changed his mind about how he feels about love. Whether we find ourselves in the circle or among the accusers, God is there. God gives us the choice. At first glance, this encounter seems to deal more with the crowd around the woman than with the woman herself. Perhaps it's because so many of us are caught in judgment. We're just as likely to stand in the crowd of accusers as we are to be in the center of the circle. Christ said plenty to her in this story, indicating that this encounter occurs for the fallen as well as those of us who find it necessary to judge their fall. We all need to walk in the way of love. When you're being judged, or when you want so badly to judge others, lean into God and look at the depth of his love. His love will release you from judgment, not so you can keep going in the wrong way, but so you can be free to make good decisions with your life and go about living well. His love will also remind you that if you aren't the one in the center of the circle right now, take care before you judge, as you just might be there one day. Choose love confidently, because love is stronger and more powerful than judgment. So the next time someone trembles in fear and tells you something you really don't want to know, or you see your sin in someone else's life, or your loved one is braced, ready to feel your stone-cold words, you'll know what to do. Loosen your grip and listen for the flat thud of grace as you choose love over judgment.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.